The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Re'eh. At the end of Parshas Re'eh, it's beginning with Dvorim Tes Zayin, Posuk Aleph. We have the Parsha of the Regolim, of the Gimel Regolim, Gimel, popularly known as the Gimel Chagim, the three Yom Tovim. Shomor es Chedesh O'Aviv, take care, guard of the month, of the spring. Aviv refers to either springtime or lives a little later than springtime. It's actually when the first crops are coming up already. And then you shall bring your korban pesach to Hashem. Because in that month Hashem took you out of Egypt at night. Rashi comments that even though the Yetzias Mitzrayim was during the day, they went out in the morning, but it was that night at 12 o'clock that Parai gave them their freedom. He went out looking for Moshe, and he told him, go. So, therefore, it was as if the Yetzia, the Exodus, started at the evening, at the night. V'zavach tepesach l'Hashem elekechom, and then you shall bring your korban pesach. And then the Torah tells us about not eating chometz, and so forth. Then, in Posuk Tesh, the Torah states, Shiva Shvuah Tispoloch. You shall then count, right prior to Posuk Tesh, in Posuk Ches, the Torah tells us that you shall keep the Yantif of Pesach for 6 days, and on the seventh day it should be another Yantif, which you should not do any Malocha. In HaTorah Pesach, the Chag was 7 days. Then the next posuk is that you shall count 7 weeks from the time that you start to harvest, because on Pesach was the harvest of the barley, the first crops. And then after you count 7 weeks, these are the 7 weeks of the Sfiras HaEmer, that's 49 days. Then on the 50th day, V'osiso Chag Shvuas Lashem, you shall make a Yantif of Shvuas, and you shall rejoice before Hashem. Ato vincho vitecho, you and your son and your daughter, v'avdecho v'amosecho, and your servant and your maidservant, v'halevi, asher b'shorecho, who's in your gates, v'hager v'hayosom v'almono, and the stranger, the convert, and the widow, the orphan and the widow, which is amongst you. Then, in Posuk Yud Gimel, we have Chag HaSukkos Tasalacha. This is the third regal that you shall make for yourself, a Chag HaSukkos. Shiva Shomim, 7 days, Be'os Becho Migoncho Umiyikvecho. When you gather in, this was at the end of the agricultural year, when you gather in your last crops, and everything that was laying on the field, from the Geirin and the Yekif, and again you shall rejoice on this holiday. You and your son and your daughter and your servant, your maidservant, and the Levi, the convert, the orphan, and the widow, who are in your gates. And you should keep this for 7 days, and then the Hayisa Achsa Meach. Then the Torah says, Shleish Bomim Hashona, 3 times a year. Yiroya Kol Zchur Chos Pnei Hashem Elokecho B'Mokom Asher Yivchor. And these three regolim, every male was obligated. The females would come also, but the male was obligated to go up to the Beis HaMikdosh, to Yerushalayim, to visit Hashem. And he shall be seen there, in the place where Hashem has chosen. and Chag HaMatzeis, Pesach, Chag HaShavuos, and Chag HaSukkos. And when you come, you shall not come empty-handed. Yishkimat Nashyodei. Everyone must come with a matona to give to Hashem. This is the sacrifices of the Chagim. Kivirkas Hashem Elokech Hashem Nosan Loch, in accordance to the brochas which Hashem has given to you. So here we have the parsha of the Shleish Regolim. The established times for the Gimel Regolim is Pesach, is Nisan and Tishrei. Pesach comes out in Nisan, and Sukkot comes out in Tishrei. Nisan in the northern hemisphere, and that's where Eretz Yisrael is. So that is the advent to the beginning of the agricultural season, to the beginning of the summer. And Tishrei, Sukkot, incidentally, Rosh Hashanah, this coming week we bench Rosh Chodesh Elul. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur also come out in Tishrei. Tishrei is at the end of the season. Autumn, the advent of the winter. This is how it's in the northern hemisphere. This is, here it's just the opposite. Now, we say that these are the established times for the Regolim. Now you can ask a question, but Shavuos has a different time. Shavuos comes out in the middle of the summer. In the northern hemisphere, here we're in the middle of the winter, in Sivan. That's not an established time. If you look in the psukim that we read, only Pesach and Sukkot were given an established time. Shavuos was not given a time by itself, but rather the Torah said that after Pesach you should count 7 weeks, 49 days, and then on the 50th day you make Shavuos. So it doesn't have a time by itself. Its time is dependent and linked to Pesach, 50 days afterwards. And the reason for this is because Shavuos was the time of Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. And this was the purpose of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt. Like it's explicit in many psukim. For example, in Shmos, Perigimel, Pasuk Yud Beis, when Moshe first spoke to Hashem, Hashem spoke to Moshe at the snare, at the burning bush, and he told him to go take out my people from Egypt. So there he said, "Bahitziachu esomim Yisra'im." When you will take out the people from Egypt, then ta'abdu nes Hashem alohor hazeh. You will come to this mountain, because the conversation took place in the desert, Midbar Sinai, and on the Mount Sinai. And he says, I'm going to take you out in order to bring you to this mountain. And Rashi says, what did Hashem tell him? Asidin lekabla teira alohor hazeh lesev gimel chadoshim sheyotzu mimitzrayim. That when you take the people out, they will come to this mountain and they will receive the Torah some 3 months after they have gone out. And it was 3 months, but not three full months. It was a total, like we said, on the 50th day. It was 3 months because they went out in the middle of Nisan, so there was part of Nisan, and then the whole month of Iyar, and then till Sivan, till near the beginning of Sivan, when they received the Torah. Vav Sivan, the 6th of Sivan. Now, so Shavuos doesn't have its own time, but it's the 50th day after the going out of Egypt. And there are reasons why that amount of time, which we have spoken many times on Shavuos. But the established times of the Regolim are that the first Yantif, Pesach, comes in Nisan. Then we count the 50 days to Shavuos, and then the next regal comes in Tishrei. Now why is it that they fall in these 2 months? So the Maral explains, because we find in this world, and this is in everything, both in the physical world and in the spiritual world, that the tzavos are not good, extremities are not good. And the mamutzia, what is not in the extremity, but rather the moderation, what is in towards the center, that's where you always find something good. That's where you find shlemus, because that represents balance, that represents perfection. While once anything goes to an extreme, either to the right or to the left, it's basically representing a lack of balance. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of perfection. You want to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to make yourself similar to Him. So you have to be very well balanced and very, very well perfected. And that's why the extremes are never good. And just like it's in everything, it's in it's in the spheres of time also. Nisan and Tishrei are the Mutzoyim Bisman. They are in the center of time. Why do we say they are in the center of time? Because what governs time? What governs time is the sun. The whole time zone of the universe is controlled by the sun. You have your earth spinning on its axis, and you have your sunrise and sunset and the orbit of the sun. And when we come to Nisan, and when we come to Tishrei, the days and the evenings are exactly the same. And this means that the earth in relation to the sun is in center point. When we come to the months which are the furthest from Nisan and the furthest from Tishrei, and that would be the months of Tammuz and Av and the months of Tevis. Tammuz and Av fall generally in July, August. Tevis falls generally in January, February. There you have where either in the northern hemisphere, Tammuz and Av, you have your longest days and shortest nights. And Tevis, you have your shortest days and longest nights. Here would be just the opposite. Which shows that the relationship of the sun, the sun's movement, the relationships of the earth-sun movement is at an extremity, is not midpoint. Therefore, we find that the best times are in Nisan and Tishrei. And that's why when it comes for these Zmanei HaKadoshim, that there should be the Mikra Kodesh, the sanctified times, so it was established that it should be in Nisan and it should be in Tishrei. If you notice, the perfect day and the perfect night would be 12 hours each, because the total cycle is 24. And that would be a sunrise at 6 in the morning and a sunset at 6 in the evening. Then you'd have a 12-hour day and a 12-hour night. If you notice that as we head towards Tishrei, see, we are heading towards that point. And the same thing as we head towards Nisan, we head towards that point, except from a different direction. That in Nisan, at least in the northern hemisphere, so the nights were very short. They start to get longer and longer. And the day, till we got to Nisan, the days were very short and the nights were very long. And they start to even out as you come to Nisan. It would be just the opposite. And as you come to Tishrei,
So there you're coming from the summer, the days are very long, and the nights are short, and they start to even out, and they eventually even out in Tishrei. So that, this is why that those days, those months are Bichodim. They are set aside for the Zmani Hakdeshim, see, for the sanctified Zmanim Chagim. Conversely, we find, the Gemara tells us, that Tammuz and Av and Tevis are not good months. And we've had, historically, many, many Dvorim Aroim, not good things happened on those months. Fact is, it's brought that when Yaakov and Esav were fighting over the world, so Esav took those months. See, Yaakov took the others. And that's why they're known as the months of Esav. There, in Tammuz and Av, we just are just getting through Tammuz and Av now. We're holding now on the last week of Av. Tammuz and Av here, so your days reach the shortest point and your nights the longest. In the northern hemisphere, just the opposite. And Tavis, which comes in the January, February season, there your days are the longest and your nights are the shortest. And that's why they are miuchodim, they are set aside, chas v'sholom, for dvorim roim, for not good things to happen, because as we mentioned, that any extreme shows a lack of shleimus, a lack of balance. And that's contrary to goodness, contrary to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the ultimate in balance and perfection. This is what's brought in the Gemara Masechta Tainus. The Gemara says that from the 15th of Av, the 15th of Av was a great Yom Tov by Israel. And the Gemara asks, what's for what? What reason? The Gemara lists a number of things which actually they were all Gzeres Ros, many, many evil decrees that were on Klal Yisrael. Well, for example, there was the decree on the Dor HaMidbar, on the generation of the desert, that they would die in the desert until that generation was gone. So there were a number of decrees through history, the Gemara brings, that were on Klal Yisrael, and all of these decrees became hutra, they became annulled on the 15th day of Av, and therefore that day was set aside as a Yom Tov. Now why? What's the significance of the 15th day of Av? So the Gemara brings there also that something else happens on the 15th day of Av. On that day is Toshas Keichei Shel Shemesh. In Eretz Yisrael, your weather starts to heat up from June. And in July it gets hotter. That's Tammuz. Right? And in August it reaches a high point. And that's because we're coming closer to the sun. We're going away from the mamutza, from the balance. Coming closer to the sun, and your days are getting longer and longer, and your nights are shorter and shorter. The Gemara says this stops happening on the 15th day of Av. See, this that the world moves closer to the sun. Once it starts from Nisan and it slowly moves closer to the sun all of the time, it keeps on moving closer to the sun through April and May and June and July, and then it comes to a point where it stops and it starts to turn around and heads back toward center. That day that it stops and it just starts to turn around is the 15th of Av, the Gemara says. And therefore, Toshas Keichei Shel Shemesh, the power of the sun starts to weaken. And this is what we're saying. So therefore, that day, many gzeres, many evil decrees, became annulled. It's still not good days for us, because it's still out of balance. Your days are still very long and your nights are short. But it's at least now stopped going to the extreme and it started to turn around heading toward center. See. So it's
can be good days, it cannot be good days. Until we come closer to Tishrei, generally that's Elul. See, when we come to Elul and then Tishrei. Incidentally, what is the Gemara speaking about there? The Gemara says that they used to chop wood, which would be used for firewood, on the Mizbeach, on the altar. And that wood was Kodosh. That wood had sanctification and had a deen of a korban, of a sacrifice. And since it had a deen of a sacrifice, it could not have any worms in it. So it had to be dried out very well. And they would use that wood the entire year. They wouldn't cut any wood after the 15th of Av, because it could not be dried out so well by the sun, because from that day the sun started to lose its keach, its power. Now, this is why the Torah brings, in the name of the Psikta, the Medrash Psikta, that from Yud Zayin Tammuz Ve'elech, from the 17th Tammuz and further, every Shabbos for 3 weeks, we choose a Haftarah that has to do with Paranusa, that has to do with trouble. And we're maftirin Gimel de Paranusa. See, three Haftarahs we read after we read the Sefer Torah on Shabbos that have to do with troubles and problems, because that's troubled and problem times. But after that, and that starts with Shabbos Nachmo, we jumped the gun a little before the 15th, because the 15th usually comes around Shabbos Nachmo, depending when Tisha B'Av came. See? So then we read Zayin Nechemta, seven Haftarahs that have to do with consolation and comfort and good things. Because from there we're moving towards the center, and that brings us right before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, into Tishrei. And then we read Tarti de Tshuvta, two Haftarahs that have to do with Tshuva. This is for the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur period. See? So that's what the Psikta says, that from the 17th of Tammuz and onward, Maftirin Gimel de Paranusa, three Haftarahs which are troublesome, Zayin de Nechemta, and then seven Haftarahs which are of comfort and consolation, and Tati de Tshuvta, and then two that have to do with Tshuva. And the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch brings this in Hilchos Reish Chedesh, Simen Tov Reish Ches, Siv Ches. So, coming to the Gimel of Golim, so here the Torah says that these Chagim should be set aside, one in Nisan and one in Tishrei. And that's because that's the balanced areas of the world in relationship to the sun, as far as time is concerned. And that's a time which is very fitting for Zmanim Hakdeshim, for the Yom Tovim. Again, Shavuos is the exception, but Shavuos doesn't have a time, an independent time of itself. Shavuos is dependent on Nisan. The Torah doesn't give it its own time. It says that after Nisan, after Pesach, you should count 50 days. And that was because that was the purpose of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. To speak further on the Yom Tovim, on the Shleish V'Golim, the Rambam writes in Hilkos Yom Tov, Halacha Tes Zayin, he says, "Kishem shemitzvah lechabit Shabbos ula ango." On Shabbos, we divrei Kabbalah from the Tanakh, but some hold it's minatera. We were given two mitzvahs, besides that we're not allowed to do the specific works. And these two mitzvahs are kovet Shabbos, kibud, to honor the Shabbos, and onik Shabbos, and to enjoy the Shabbos. It's a mitzvah that one must enjoy the Shabbos, indulge in physical and mental enjoyment of the Shabbos. This is why one is not allowed to tell anyone or to mention to anyone, and especially the Rabbim, especially publicly, any bad news or tzoros, because this will upset a person. And this will prevent him from having Tainuk Shabbos. So the Rambam writes that Kishem Shemitzvah Lechabit Shabbos Ula Ango, just like we have these mitzvahs by Shabbos, Kach Kol Yomim Tovim. These two mitzvahs are also by the Yomim Tovim. As it states, Likdeish Hashem Mechubet, it says that the sanctified days you must honor and enjoy. So the Rambam says, the Gemara says this has to do with Shabbos, but the Rambam says so, sanctified days also refer to Yom Tov. V'chol Yomim Tovim Nemam Behem Mikra Kodesh. Actually, there's a chidush, it's something unique here in the Rambam, because generally we relate oneg, that one should have physical enjoyment and indulgence, with Shabbos. And we relate Yom Tov to Simcha. Okay. The Rambam holds that oneg also applies to Yom Tov, not besides Simcha. And then he writes, Kvar bi'anu ha'kibud va'inu b'hilchus Shabbos. He's already explained in by Shabbos what, how you can give honor to Shabbos and how you can enjoy the Shabbos. And here he just mentions a little. He says, v'chein roi lo'odem shlo yisod bar v'yom tevi minan mincha l'malek erev Shabbos. It's not proper for a person to sit down for a good meal erev yantif, from mincha l'malek in the afternoon, because he says, just like on Shabbos, so not proper for a person to sit down in the afternoon and have a big meal on Friday, because when he comes into Yom Tov or Shabbos, then he will not have such an appetite. And this is not bechlal kovod. This is not honoring Shabbos. And he quotes the Gemara that those people who disgrace the Moadim, it's as if they are joining up with idolatry. Then the Rambam writes, Shiva Shemeya Pesach, Ushmeina Shemeya Chag, 7 days of Pesach and the 8 days of Chag, of Sukkot. He's referring to Eretz Yisrael. Later on he'll say that in Chutz Loretz, so it's going to be 8 days of Pesach and 9 days of Sukkot, which includes Tishmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah. Im Shar Yemim Tevim, Kulam Asurim Behesped V'Taimus. Since one is obligated in what we mentioned, so then one is not allowed to do anything that's going to make himself suffer or be uncomfortable. Therefore, you're not allowed to give a hesped, even though a hesped is a mitzvah. Someone dies, especially if it's a person who's an Odom Kosher, an upright person, or certainly a Talmud Chochem. But we're not allowed to eulogize, to give hespedim on Yom Tov. It includes Chol HaMoed. Or Chol HaMoed, or we're not allowed to fast on those days. And not only one is not allowed to bring tzar, suffering to himself, because he won't be able to have einig, and also it will not be covered, but he's also obligated to be someach, to be happy, and to be in a very good disposition, to live. Who he, ubono v'ishtoi, and his children, his wife, Bnei Bonov, his grandchildren, Bechol Anilvim Olav, and everyone, all of those who are with him, as it states, V'shomachta Bechagecho. And Amitz's essay, A Positive Commandment, is that you shall rejoice on the Chag. Afal Pisha Simcha Murakan, he Korban Shlomim, Kimeshonim Avarim Ilukas Chagigo. Now, generally, the Gemara says that how did a person have simcha? He had simcha by bringing the sacrifices to the Beis HaMikdash, and then he would eat from those sacrifices. That's the Korban Shlomim. Or bringing yain l'mizbeach. He would bring wine to the mizbeach, to the altar. The Gemara says, therefore, there's no simcha without bosa v'yain, the meat and the wine. The Rambam tells us this is true, but this is not the entire truth. He says, even though this is true, but yes bechlal eses simcha, but also inclusive in this is lismeachu bona b'nei beisik kolechet kereilei, is to rejoice also outside of the Beis HaMikdash, in your house. For example, he says, each one you have to give them something which they will rejoice in. Haktanim, Nesnim, Kloyis, Ve'agoyzim, U'migdones. The children you have to see are happy, so you give them delicacies. Kloyis was a delicacy. Kloyis was like they would take the wheat and they would roast it
So it was a roasted wheat. It was like a popcorn or some other delicacy. You give them nuts, you give them sweets. Noshim, the women, kenel hem begodim. You buy for them clothing, tachshitim, or jewelry. Noim, which are beautiful, kfim meiner. Here he writes kfim meiner, in accordance to his wealth. Anoshim, and the men, how do you make the men happy? They were easier to make happy. It says, Eichlim bosu v'sheshin yayin. See, they would eat meat and drink wine. She'ein simcha le b'bosu v'ein simcha le b'yayin. Because there can be no simcha for the men without meat and without wine. They're less of a sophistication. Now, the Rambam is saying, Achidush, here are two things. Firstly, is that we shouldn't think that the mitzvah of v'samachta b'chagecha was only limited to what we did in the Beis HaMikdash. Secondly, Stalin has three things. That the simcha has to be kol echar aroilo, what is mesameach each and every individual. See, the children, which is brings them simcha, the women, which brings them simcha, and the men, which brings them simcha. It's interesting that in all three, he only mentions by the women kifim emeina in accordance to one's wealth. See. That when you give something for simcha, there it has to be in accordance to one's wealth. And then there's a third chidush in the Rambam. Many are under the impression that this is on Yantif. This will be the first 2 days of Pesach. And the last 2 days of Pesach. Now the Rambam explicitly writes, this is a din on Cholamayr also. He says, Shiva Shemaya Pesach, Ushmeina Shemaya Chag. All of the days of Pesach and all of the days of Sukkot and naturally Shavuos also, one is obligated in v'samachta b'chagecha. The mitzvah of Simcha goes on all of the days. See? And that's what the Mishnah brings, which we'll speak about in a minute, that the Mishnah brings in Masechta Avos, amavaze samayadosh, that there's the tendency to be mavaze, to disgrace the Chol HaMoed. That people have the tendency to treat Chol HaMoed not as a yontif. And the how do you disgrace the Maedis? You disgrace the Maedis by not dressing up like you would on a yontif, see. Not dressing properly, and by going to work, see, and by treating it like any other day. And the Mishnah brings that this was a terrible avera, and this is why the Chachomim were so strict in making many laws of things that one cannot do on Chol HaMoed. And the purpose was for they will fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas HaChag. Otherwise everybody's busy with work and they're busy with other things and the Chag goes away. So the Rambam explicitly says that this is for the whole Yom Tov. Now, and this that we mentioned, that the Mishnah says that he who disgraced the Maedis, it brings ein lechelek leilam abo. He can lose, heaven forbid, his portion in the world to come. Now this seems to be a very, very severe punishment for someone who disgraces the Maedis. So the Maral explains what is the mitzvah? Why is there such a mitzvah of Simchas HaChag? To eat meat, to drink wine, to buy beautiful clothing. One would think these things, this is an indulgence. And it's far better not to indulge. One would think, look, you have to indulge. So you have to. But someone who would not indulge would be better. Pas b'melech teicha. Maspik b'muad. The less a person takes from this world, the better he is. This is a philosophy. We take from this world what we train ourselves to take from this world, what we need, but not more. So therefore one would feel it's better not to indulge. This is false. Because in that case it would be better not to indulge on Yom Tov. And he would be mevatel a mitzvah esse. He would desecrate a positive commandment. The mitzvah is to indulge. Just like on Shabbos, a person will say, look, I don't need the luxury of Shabbos. See? I don't need such good food. No. And the reason for this is because the only way a person can come to a perfection, to a totality, is using both worlds. We are created from both worlds. If we were malochim, if we were angels, then they say, what do I need to indulge in this world for? But we were created from both worlds. And the only way one can come to this perfection is by utilizing both worlds. We have to utilize both worlds for mitzvah. But by utilizing both worlds and bringing both worlds together. And that's why on Shabbos, when there was the perfection of the world, we have to use the perfection in the world. We have to enjoy from the world. If a person will say, look, I waive my right to have such good food on Shabbos. That's an aveira biyoda. That's a tremendous aveira. He's been mavatel, he's desecrating the mitzvah of onik Shabbos. So therefore, the same on Yom Tov. And therefore, a person who's mavazes amod, this is a person who's saying, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the Yom Tov for my enjoyment. If it's for my enjoyment, I enjoy better going to work. See? I enjoy better making money and being in the office. See? So what is he doing? Or I enjoy better not eating or fasting. Or you might even say, I enjoy better learning the whole day. I want to learn the whole day. What is he doing? He's trying to be a person who's kula bilti gashmi. He's trying to be a person who's totally spiritual then. And that he can't be. And this is why he has a penalty where he can lose his world to come. Because the world to come is a spiritual world. But the way to get there is through this world. See, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man and he offered him the reward of the world to come, the road to the world to come is this world. There's no other road. And a person who does not utilize the Yom Tovim and enjoy the Yom Tovim, mitzad the Gashmi, he's trying to come to the world to come through a different road, and he won't get there. That's why it states, Amavazes Amayadais, Ein Leichelik Leilam Abo. This is how the Maral explains it. So, therefore, and we'll see another point to this in a minute. So therefore, these mitzvahs, one cannot waive. Naturally, for example, what happens if a person likes to eat only a little, and he comes on Shabbos or Yom Tov and eats so much he gets sick? See? Now, that the Gemara says, "L'tainug nitna v'lei l'tzar." HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to you for your enjoyment, not for tzar. See, we're not referring to that, but even then, the little that he eats, he has to put in a lot of work, Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, so it'll be special. Now the Rambam continues, and he says, he answers this, U'kishu eichel v'sheisa, when a person eats and drinks on Yom Tov, chayim la'achil l'ger l'yosem la'almono, he has to also give to eat the convert, the orphan, the widow. Imshar ha'anim ha'amlulim ha'umlolim, together with the other poor and downtrodden. Avol mishenayel dalseis chatzerei, but someone who closes the doors of his home. Ba'echel v'sheisa hu bana v'ishtai, and he has a grand time with his wife and children, and he does not allow the poor or the embittered to share with him, Einzu Simchas Mitzvah leSimchas Kreisoi. This is not a mitzvah which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. This is not the simcha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. This is a simcha of selfishness. And on this HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I do not want your simcha. We find all the time it's a mitzvah to help the needy. All the time it's a mitzvah of stoker and to help the downtrodden. But on Yom Tov, this is a special time. And this is why there's always stokers, special stokers, which are collected for the Yom Tovim to give to those also, so they should share in our simcha. And the source of this in our parsha, the in our parsha, what we read, so it states twice. It states Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'samachta livnei Hashem Elokecha ato uvincho vitecho v'yavdecho v'amosecho, you, your son, your daughter, your servant and your maid servant, and the Levi, Hashem b'shorecho v'ager v'ayosem v'almono, the Levi and the stranger and the orphan and the widow. And then a second time it says it further by Sukkot in Pasuk Tes in Pasuk Yudalet. Now Rashi brings a medrash in which it says Arba Shali Keneged Arba Shalcho. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you have four and I have four. You have your son and your daughter and your servant and your maidservant. And I have four. I have the Levi and I have the Ger, the convert, and the Almona, the widow, and the Yosem and the orphan. He says, Yimato mesameach eshali, ani mesameach eshulcho. You take care of my four, and then I will see to take care of your four. If you will take care of those who are needy, then I will take care of your family. In last week's Sedra, in Parshas Ekev, in Posuk Yud, excuse me, Perek Yud, Posuk Yud Zayin and Yud Ches, we have Ki Hashem Elokeichem Hu Elokei Olehim Hu Elohei Olehim V'Adonei Adonim Ela Gadol Agibovi Aneira Asher Lo Yisofonim V'Leikach Sheichat. It says that Hashem, your God, He is the God of all gods. And He's the Lord of all lords. And He is the strong and the mighty and the awesome, which under no circumstances can you buy Him out. See, you cannot bribe Him, you cannot buy Him out. So here, what are we speaking about? We're speaking about the awesomeness, the greatness, the mightiness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The next pasuk it states, Eise Mishpat Yosem V'Almono. He himself takes care to make sure that the orphan and the widow are judged properly, that no one should take advantage of them, because they are known as a soft target. Say, but Eiv Ger, and he loves the Ger, the convert. Lo says lay lechem v'simlo, to give them bread and clothing. Ma'afte mesager, and you should love the Ger, ki gerim yisem eres misroim, they were gerim, because you yourself were gerim in Egypt. Now here we have two extremities. In one pasuk it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the greatest God of all gods and the greatest Lord of all lords, and He's Nora, He's awesome, and He's strong, and so forth and so on. And then, and immediately next pasuk, it states He takes care of the downtrodden, He Himself. He will make sure that they get proper justice. And He will make sure that they have what to eat and they're given food and so forth. Rashi brings the Gemara in Megillah. Ha
Hare Gvura. First we're speaking about the might of Hashem. Ve'etzel Gvurosei Atomeitzi in Vosonusei. And then, right in the same place that we're speaking of his might, we speak of his humility. Generally, a king cannot do both. A king generally, if he's involved in big things, he's involved in foreign policy, he's involved in traveling around the world, he's involved in wars, he's involved in making wars or making peace. And in world economies, he doesn't have time to go and to take care of an orphan. See, that he'll give to someone else, or almona, a widow. See, or the downtrodden, that he can't do. By Kodesh Baruch Hu, right where it states that he makes history and he changes history. He's dealing with the nations of the world and the kings of the world. At the same time, he himself personally takes care of the downtrodden. The Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Ava Yisomim. He's the father of the Yisomim, of the orphans. And he's the Ava Ger. He doesn't give this over to someone else. And that's why the Gemara always brings Bezdin as Aviyam Shal Yisomim. The Bezdin has the responsibility to act as the fathers of the orphans and of the downtrodden, because they are the representatives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says that we find that Amar Rabbi Yehanan, b'chol mokum sh'atem meitzi gvurosai sham timotzei im vasonusai, b'chol mokum asher meitzi es gdulosai, wherever HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's written about his extreme greatness, there, right there, it speaks of his extreme humility. The Maral explains this in a very beautiful way. He says it's not merely telling us that he does this also, because then why would it be necessary, wherever it writes Gidulose, his greatness, you have to write his humility also. He's saying this is the humility of the Almighty. He says, why is it that we find that if you look at arrogant people, they identify themselves, they associate only with limited, exclusive clubs. The more arrogant the people were, the more class they had, the more exclusive were their groups. See? The more exclusive were their groups. I will see this when I come to Durban. Durban, no, what I mean by Durban is very English. See? Durban is very English. And when you drive by there, you see a massive, beautiful, beautiful building. It's an old building, but massive, beautiful building. And this was known as the English Club. See, this was the English Club. They had their clubs. And the higher you were on the ladder of class, the more exclusive your club was. Now, this, besides being arrogance, this really is a smallness. Why? Because it shows that these people are very limited. They cannot identify with everyone. They can identify only with a limited portion of the population. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no limitations. Since he has no limitations, he can identify with everyone. He's at home speaking to kings, and he's at home speaking to the orphan. There are no limitations. And therefore, that itself is his gedula, is his greatness, his mightiness. Therefore, b'chol mokom asher meitzi es gdulosei, wherever you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, atah meitzi es im vasonusei, you have to speak of this also, because this is his praise, that he can identify, he can be in the highest heavens and the most powerful king of all kings, and at the same time take care of the orphan and the widow. this is not only his humility, this is his gedula, this is his strength and greatness. And we are obligated. See. We are obligated to walk in his ways. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't like limited people, arrogant people. Arrogance is a limitation. And therefore, by someone, when they have a Simchas Yontif, if they refuse to share it with the downtrodden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's not my Simcha. But when they do share it, then he says, I'll be there. Not only I'll be there, I'll take care of all of yours also. You take care of Dalit Shali, of my four, and I will take care of Dalit Shalcha, your four. And then we have, the Rambam goes further, and he says, in your test, Afalpisha Achila Vishtiya Bemayadais Bechlav Mitzvah's essay, even though we said that the eating and drinking on Yantav is a positive commandment, Leyeicha Vishesha Kalayim Kula, you shouldn't on a Yantav eat and drink the whole day. Elokachi Adas, he says this is the way you should do it. He has an interesting schedule. We don't necessarily follow that schedule today. Maybe they did that in the Rambam's lands, but he has an interesting schedule, and he's referring here not only to Yantav but Cholamayit also. He says Badeike Mashkimin Kolam Laboti Kinesiyos Laboti Midroshes. In the morning, so everyone gets up and they go to the shuls and to the Beis HaMedrash Umispalalin, and they daven Bekeirin B'Torah B'Inyan Hayom, and then they read the Sefer Torah, what we're supposed to on the various days of Yantav and Chol HaMoed, V'Chezvin L'Bateyam V'Eichlin, and then they go back home and they eat, they have breakfast, then V'Holchin L'Bote Midroshes, and then they go back to the Beis HaMedrash V'Keirin Yishenin Ad Chatzi Ayin, and they learn there, they learn until midday. And once it's after midday, Mispalalin Tfilis Mincha, in the Beis HaMedrash they daven Mincha, then Bechezrin Lebotehan, they go back to the home after Mincha, they daven Mincha at 12:30, so they would go back to home at about 1 o'clock, Lechel V'lishtei Shar Hayim Ad HaLayla, and there they would eat and drink and be Mesameach until night. This is what they did every day. Now, what is the source of this din? This is a Gemara in Masechet Psochim, Perek Eilat Dvorim, and a Gemara in Beitzah. The Gemara brings that there are two psukim. One posuk in the Torah states, Atzeres Tiel Hashem. It should be a yantiv to Hashem. There's another posuk which states, Atzeres Tiel Lochem. It should be a yantiv for you. So the Gemara asks, who should the Yantav be for Hashem or for you? So the Gemara says, Chalkehu, divide it. Chatzi Lashem, Chatzi Lochem, Chatzi Lashem. Divide it. Half for you and half for Hashem. This again has to do with the Chibor, the joining of the two worlds. See? Yantav has to be both. Half of it should be serving Hashem, and half of it should be serving yourself a physical indulgence. So therefore that's what the Rambam brings their schedule was, that they'd get up in the morning, they'd go to shul and daven and lay in the Sefer Torah, they'd come back home and have a breakfast, then they'd go back to the Beis HaMedrash and they would learn until midday, then they would daven mincha, then they would go home, and the shar kol hayayim, and the rest of the day until night they would eat and drink and be mesameach. One final point in the room, and this is in Aloha Chof. Kishodim Eichel V'Sheise V'Sameach B'Regel. When a person eats and drinks and he rejoices on the Yontif, Lo Yimoshech B'Yayin V'Shchek V'Kalis Reish. He shouldn't get drunk, and he shouldn't become folly and lightheadedness. And to say that the more drunk one becomes, or the more lightheaded one becomes, this is greater simcha, greater mitzvah, because it's a mitzvah of simcha. Because drunkenness, or just plain empty
laughter and litzonis, and kalis reish, folly and lightheadedness, eino simcha, that's not simcha, ela helilis visiklus, that's emptiness and foolishness. And this is not what we're commanded on. We were commanded on simcha. We were commanded to rejoice, and that the rejoicing should be a service to Hashem. Shenema, as it states, Tachas asher levadatas Hashem alakecha besimcha v'tub leivav meirev kol, that when we have in the Sefer Torah the Teichochos, the rebukes, Kodesh Baruch Hu points a finger at Klal Yisrael, and he says that the reason why I'm punishing you is because you did not serve me besimcha and in goodness of heart when you had so much. It seemed that they served Hashem, but not with simcha and happiness of heart. What do we see? Holamadito shahaveda besimcha. We see that when it comes to serving Hashem, one must do it with a happiness, with a cheerfulness, okay, with a great satisfaction. Holamadito, we learn shahaveda besimcha, that aveda has to be with happiness and with cheerfulness and a great joy. So two things we learn. That first of all, this is how you must serve Hashem, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebuked us and said, you served me, but you served me with a glum face. You served me as if, you served me as if this was something that you didn't enjoy at all. See, I want you to enjoy the Torah. I want you to enjoy the mitzvahs. So that's the first thing we learn. Then he says, it's impossible to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu if a person is chayk, if a person is empty, just laughs around. Or if a person is lightheadedness. Or if a person is drunk. Now here the Rambam writes, it's very important you saw, then he writes this in a number of places. See, in a number of places. That we have to know that there's a great distinction between simchas alev, the rejoicing of the heart, and schaik and kalis resh, or just to laugh around, litzonis, I don't know what you call it, we used to call it to horse around. And not only is there a great distinction, but they're totally contrary to each other, they're opposite to each other, because the Gemara Sochim Dav Kuf Yud Zayin says, Ein Ashchina Sheire Lemitei Kalis Resh, the Shekhinah will not dwell where there's kalis reish, where there's just empty laughter and joking around. Elam takes simcha. But on the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will not dwell where there's no simcha. So we see not only the distinction between the two, and the contrary, that the an emptiness, see, just an empty laughter, a folliness that drives the Shekhinah away. But if there's no simcha, that also drives the Shekhinah away. So we see they're contrary to each other. And this is what we find by Torah itself. It states in the Memches Dvorim Shatera Niknas Behem, a condition that one has to have if he wants to acquire Torah, it states simcha. Okay? That's one of the conditions. This is not optional. Person wants to become great in Torah, he's going to have to be besimcha. He's going to have to be of good disposition. He's going to have to be a happy person. He cannot be, it says, let me take atzfus. He cannot be sad. He cannot be depressed. He cannot be gloomy. He cannot be pessimistic. He has to have a disposition that is joyous and happy and with optimism. If he doesn't have it, he won't be Kein Torah. But at the same time, it states, "Letzones achas decha mea techoches," that letzones, just to horse around, just to laugh around empty laughter, that is not only he won't acquire Torah, that destroys Torah. It states, Litzona Achas, one joke, Dechamea Techochis. What that means is that there can be a chochom, the Gemara says, that gives 100 rebukes to the people, and they'll take it all in until late echod, one late will say one joke, then he has destroyed everything. See, this is the enormous danger of Litzonos. Now we see it's not just, we're talking about two things contrary to each other. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want you to learn unless you're besimcha. And on the other hand, when it comes to an empty simcha, so it's totally destructive Torah. So destructive of Torah that it says, Letzona achas dea me'ate choches. One empty joke, see, could destroy 100 rebukes. And the reason for it is very simple. Because what is kalas reish? Kalas reish. What does it mean? What does it mean literally, kalas reish? We say it means folly. Lightheadedness. What it means literally, kalas reish, is empty-headedness. Kalas reish is contrary to the seichel. What is the seichel? The seichel is where you use through great labor your mind, and it's where it's mind over matter. The desires of the body pulls one way, the emotions pull another way. The seichel is when it prevails. This is seichel. And Torah can be learned only with seichel. You can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu only with seichel. Yet kalas reish is the beetle of the seichel. Lightheadedness, empty-headedness, that's the destruction of the seichel. So how can one serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu like that? How can one go and learn Torah like that? And that's why the Gemara brings that Rava, when he used to give the shir, and many times he would see the gloomy, he would say Amili Bidichusa. He would say something very humorous and get them to laugh and to relax. Okay. But then, once he started the shir, it says the shir has to be listened to be'ema u'bereses u'beyira u'befachad. It has to be listened to with a tremble, it says, with a awesomeness. It says, why? Because that's how Yisrael listened to the shir on Har Sinai. That's how they were makabel Torah. So, simcha there has to be. Without simcha, he wouldn't be keen a Torah. But on the other hand, that there cannot be heilenes or kalas reish. And that's what in Tehillim it states, in Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ivdu Hashem besimcha. You serve a servant, generally serves with yira, with fear. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want that. He wants Ivdus Hashem b'simcha. You must serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with simcha, gilu b'rodo, and you must rejoice. Now, gilu means to rejoice, and b'rodo means to fear. You must rejoice in the fear of Him. That means there has to be both. And that's simcha, and that's contrary to the kalas reish. Therefore, the Rambam writes that when a person eats and drinks and is misameach beregel, he says this is not an exercise like lahavdil, like the goyim when they eat and drink in the misameach. Their tachlis is shikras and kalas reish and eilelis. He says leinitztavino, we weren't commanded on this. We were commanded to be ivdu as Hashem b'simcha, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you cannot serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu this way. Therefore, you have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me take kalas reish, let me take shikras, but we take simcha. So this is the mitzvah of the simchas hachag. These are a number of points and dinim in regards to the gimel regolim, the gimel chagim.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedolah of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.